Thank you.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And a servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. It's clear to see that Jesus is discussing here in this passage the possibility of freedom. The word free occurs again and again in the text that we just read. The word freedom is in every advertisement and thought and lip because of the largest campaign in America today to convince us that we're free, to convince us of freedom. And yet I'm convinced that we, like the Jews, don't really understand what freedom is. We're like a soldier. He captured a prisoner and he called his commander. I've captured a prisoner. And the commander says, we'll bring him in. And his reply was, he won't come. Well, leave him and come in yourself. I can't. He won't let me. So you see, we've talked about being free from sin, but it won't let us go, and we won't let it go. And so we need to examine again what freedom is from. In the spiritual sense, in Christ, what exactly are we free from? Well, we know that we're free from law because Jesus freed me from that system where one violation condemns. Romans 8 and verse 2 speaks of the fact that there's no condemnation in verse 1 to them that are in Christ because the law of life administered by the Spirit set me free from the law that said, if I sin, I die. And so we're free from that law that would condemn us. And also in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, Paul makes it very clear that God made Christ to be sin for us, and he gave us his righteousness. So we stand before God with his performance, his righteousness. That's why we stand pure and clean. In Romans 3 and verse 21, Paul said, I'm justified apart from law. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm free to do as I please, unless I please to do the will of him that freed me. And I believe we understand that. You see, the only way that I can do as I please is if I'm truly free. Now, if I've been truly freed by God, then I can do exactly what I please. For my pleasure has become his pleasure, and his pleasure is mine. If I'm truly free, I can say with Jesus, as he did in John 8, verse 29, I do always the things that are well-pleasing in his sight. And also in John 4, verse 34, Jesus said, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his will. And so, the free man, Christ, who frees all other men, holds only one reason to live. He only had one reason for living, and that was to seek the pleasure of his Father and to do his Father's will. I believe that we need to be aware of the fact, and made aware of the fact, and kept aware of the fact that we are free from sin. We're not only free from sin, but we're free from the guilt of sin. For we are righteous because he is righteous and he is ours. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 on that fact. It says, But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And so it's pretty clear from that one passage that we are righteous, not by virtue of what we've done or what we're doing, but by virtue of whose we are and whose we have. We belong to God, and God belongs to us. And Jesus has been given unto us as our righteousness. So our purity that we stand before God is not a matter of our works, it's a matter of what Christ is to us. That's a beautiful message of the gospel. We are free from the guilt of sin. We're not only free from the guilt of sin, but we're free from the penalty of sin. That's Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now, because of the cross, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that's one splendid and beautiful promise. There's two requirements, though, to enjoy that. Number one is in Jesus. And number two, it's walking in Jesus. And that's now, in the here and now, at this very moment. No condemnation. That's a beautiful message of the gospel. We've seen that point in the past, and that we're free from sin, we're free from its guilt and penalty. But that's still not all there is to the Christian freedom. For we've also free from the practice of sin. Now this fact is stated again and again in many different ways throughout the scriptures. For example, in 1 John 1, verse 6 and 7, John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, there's where we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, we are free from the practice of sin. Listen to Paul in Galatians 5 and verse 16. He says, walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now that's good news, because he says, walk by the Spirit, by his direction. Let the Spirit give you the instruction. Walk by his instruction. Walk where the Spirit leads and guides and points. And here's the result. And you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, Paul said. He doesn't say you won't have lusts. They're coming. And occasionally they'll knock you down. But if we walk by the Spirit, I'll guarantee you'll get up every single time and go on. There's no shame in being knocked down. The shame is in being knocked out of the fight, and given up. And you continue in the direction that you're going when you get up, when you were knocked down. And that's what walking in the Spirit is, because you've been set free from the slavery of sin that once you were in bondage to. Now Paul put it well in Romans 6 verse 16 through 18. He says, don't you know, or know ye not, that to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, his slaves you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But thanks be unto God that whereas ye were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching wherein you were delivered. And being then made free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. And so his heart's obedience has made him to be free from the practice of sin. Heart obedience, that's what one has now, that he's a slave to Jesus, who set him free from the slavery of sin, and that's what keeps him from the practice of sin. In 1 John 3 and verse 7, John says, do not be deceived. He that practices righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now that's beautiful news. Have you ever listened to someone practice the piano? It'll drive you up the wall. But their heart's desire is to play that piano. And the longer they practice, the more near they become to being perfect at it. A newborn babe in Christ begins in a feeble way to practice righteousness. And he may do a lot of wrong things, but if he's practicing righteousness, according to that passage, he is righteous. There's no shame in being knocked down in a fight, but in being knocked out. You get up and you go on every single time. I don't care what troubles and trials and temptations and distresses and discouragements come. My determination is to get up and go on. I'm going to keep on keeping on. And that's the free man's privilege, and that's the free man's place. But how is he set free? Is it by extreme effort on his part? No, not by your effort at all. Nor are you kept free by your effort. You've been given the effort because of the fact that you are free. We lose sight of that sometimes. You've been set free in order to be able to give that kind of an effort. Now, when we look to human effort, when we look to our effort of being righteous and being free, we're kind of like the tiger that's ensnared in a net. You've all seen pictures of the tiger and his fight to get free from that net. The more he fights to be free, the more entangled he becomes. And that's our nature when we have this human effort of being justified. Or a man in quicksand. The more you struggle, the deeper you sink. That's the way it is with human effort to overcome sin. It takes a power that's from above, from outside the situation. And so our thanks is to God that Jesus did exactly that. It was Jesus' act that set me free. It's not me. Because before Calvary's cross, a person could be immersed 10,000 times and still be mired in sin. You see, it's the cross that gives all the things we do their efficacy. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, it, salvation, is a gift. For by grace you are saved through your faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, we are his workmanship. He done the work, see? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We have good works to do, that's true. But he is the one that gives us the efficacy of being free. Free from the guilt and the penalty and the practice of sin. In Titus 3 and verse 4 through 7, Paul said, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." According to his mercy, that's what it said. According to his mercy, I'm heir to eternal life, not by my works, but according to his mercy. For by grace you say, through your faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. I've been set free because the judge has adopted me as a son. And that's Romans 8, verse 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Don't you know it's God that justifies? That's verse 33. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Don't you know it's Christ Jesus that died for the condemned? Yea, rather, that is risen from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He intercedes by the fact of the blood of his cross. So the only one who has a right to condemn me has adopted me as a son. And so as long as God loves me, and the cross still stands, and the tomb is still empty, and Jesus is still intercedes at the right hand of God, I am free. Well, for what purpose have I been set free? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Who did he give credit to? The grace of God. Did not Paul say that the grace can be bestowed in vain? Yes, he did. It is the labor that makes the grace of God not to be in vain. And it's the grace of God that produces our labor. And so don't look at Paul and say, look what he did. Say, God's grace did it through Paul. He didn't do it by his ability. He didn't do it by his education. He didn't, but rather by the grace of Almighty God. If God wants me to do what Paul did, then I can do it. And I will. Because I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want him to work in me the doing of it. And he will. He's promised me that. So that's the purpose we have been set, why we've been set free, to serve the Lord God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. The emphasis is in verse 10. We are his workmanship. He did the work, it says in verse 10. And it's in Christ Jesus, that's where I am. And it's for good works that's what I'm for. So we've been set free in order that we might serve the Lord God. You see, salvation is a free gift. There's nothing you can do to buy it. It's an undeserving gift. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. When you've done all that you've been commanded to do, what did Jesus say you say to yourself? I am an unprofitable servant. I've done only what it is my duty to do. Luke 17 and verse 10. If we could live long enough to fulfill every command, we would not deserve a thing. You cannot deserve a gift. A gift is given because of the love of the giver. God has given you your freedom because of his love for you. And yet it is a demanding gift. It's a free gift. It's an undeserved gift. And yet it is demanding. It doesn't cost in the price of the gift, but it costs in the thanksgiving of the gift. Thanks be unto God, Paul said, for his unspeakable gift in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. The only question that remains in the close of our lesson this morning is, would you be free if freedom is found in Jesus? And in Galatians 3, verse 27, Paul reminded the Christians there that our freedom is in Christ. He said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's no way to avoid the idea of baptism. It's the entrance into Christ. It's where we put on Christ to be our covering for sin. And it's where we receive that free gift that you don't earn, but your thankfulness causes you to do whatever you do in behalf of God, in behalf of his word, in behalf of his children. He's adopted us when we obey the gospel. But you and I have got to make that choice. And it's your choice and always will be. That's the lesson for this morning. Let's stand while we sing our closing hymn.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored till the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables passed from his heart to mine can defy the blast through strength divine. We had anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore. With the storms all past forevermore, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
One sec, sorry. Potluck, that was rescheduled.
Yes, rescheduled for May.
First weekend, or
the first Sunday of May. That'll be at my house.
Should we do it the second Sunday, perhaps, because of the singing?
Oh,
and follow up that evening.
Yeah, we can do that.
It's Mother's Day.
Oh, it's Mother's Day the second weekend.
Yeah. So.
We'll just have to control our eating on the first.
Okay. All right, so the first May.
First Sunday of May.
All right. We'll have a lot of bass players.
Yeah.
Bass singers burping.
We got to sing tonight.
And singing tonight. Anything else? Announcement-wise? Okay, Paul.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, all praise and glory be to your name. Father, we're in awe of the love you've displayed for us, the care that you give us. Father, help us to look at these things and realize the placement that we have in your kingdom. Help us to fix our eyes on the cross and to realize our purpose in this life. Help us always to be ambassadors for you, Father. Guide us and direct us. Help us to be pliable. Help us that we might do the will that you'd have us do in every day. Guide us and direct us and bring us back again. Thank you, Father. In your Son's name, as we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Maybe some light finger for this.